Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Stream for me in unfamiliar surroundings. Let me know if you can hear us, if you can see us, and if there's any lag. I think everything's working, and I can't quite believe it's taken me about an hour and 10 minutes to set this stream up. But we're here. Sam, how are you? It's the final day.
It is the stressful day, isn't it, this one? But my team, as was all sorted and settled, and then there was a plane to Germany, and everything changed.
Yeah. How are you feeling about Harry Kane's imminent departure?
I'm all right, actually. I'm all right about it. Like, I think if he's going anywhere, off you go to Germany, where you can't play against us, where you can't help any of our Premier League rivals, and let's start a new chapter.
I'm just switching some of the levels around. People are saying no lag, saying you're loud and I'm quiet. Let me test this.
I'm always loud.
Is this any better, everyone? My volume's low.
Like I said, I'm on a slightly unfamiliar mic, so I can turn some knobs and
that's gonna get soundbite. Let me know if that's any better. I've turned some things, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, sorry about Kane, Sam. How's your team though? How's your FPL team? Are you at least semi settled?
No, it's in complete disarray, as because it had Kane in until literally 3 hours ago, and then I woke up this morning and was like, "Oh, he is actually gonna go then." Probably need to relook at my FPL team. So now I've got two. I mean, I say it's in complete disarray. I've got two drafts. I've got one that's got Salah, and I've got one that's got the midfield double ups from Arsenal and Manchester United in it. And I just need to decide whether I want to go Salah or Rashford and Bruno and Martinelli and Saka.
Okay. So still decision. I mean, I've pretty much decided now, no Salah, and that was Ooh. Also my big kind of dilemma. Apparently, I'm still too low. I've increased it by 7 decibels. That seems like. So
can you shout, please, Az? Would you like me to turn mine down? I can turn my mic down if that would help, so everyone can turn you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, maybe it would. I don't really know how to use this mic. If I position myself a bit closer to it. Is this any better? This is me kind of. Hang on, let me move around.
I've turned mine down as well. See if that helps. If I turn mine down, then everyone can turn the stream up. Generally,
I'm going to talk directly into the mic. So, oh, a few people saying audio good now. Okay, let's go with this.
Okay, good.
Do get your questions in. Obviously, it's 11:09. We've got the deadline in about, 6 hours, something like that. We've got Fest coming up, which is going to be amazing. And I'm going to see you
have there. An actual hug.
I know, and see lots of people that, you know, follow these streams there as well. So really looking forward to that. And yeah, people are saying better now. I think we're all good.
Okay.
I think we're all good now, which is good. There's a bit of background noise though now, Sam.
Well, there's no one here. I'm alone. So I don't know.
Okay. No, that's gone now. It's fine. It's good. It's good. Right. Let's take some questions. Let's go straight in. I'm sorry. We are going to have to talk about Kane. We are going to have to talk about what Kane's departure means for some of the other players in the Spurs team. There was a bit of a worry about Richarlison, wasn't there? But we think now he's probably fine because he
says it's fake.
He says it's fake news. He's gone Donald Trump. But what do you think about Spurs? I mean, we've talked about them before, but now I think we're pretty much certain Kane's going to go, right? So what does that
mean? Yeah, he's going to go now.
Yeah.
So it's interesting really with Richarlison, because on Sunday he was injured. That's why he didn't play any part of the game against Shakhtar Donetsk at the weekend. He was ruled out because he was injured, and then obviously he went off, got subbed in the game on Tuesday night, and the cameras picked up them talking about injury. So it's interesting to kind of him say it's fake news, because there clearly was something at the beginning of the week. Maybe it was just a knock and he's recovered from it, and that's why he's saying that. It's stop trying to make me cry, Harry. That's not kind. Not kind. So I don't know with him. I think Ange is talking at 1 o'clock today in the Spurs press conference. So we'll get more of an understanding, I think, for firm about what's going on there. I still really think that Maddison is a great asset, whether Kane is there or not. If anything, I think having a number nine who stays in the number nine position, as Richarlison will benefit Maddison, because he's going to then be pulling all the strings in behind, sending the balls out to Kulusevski and Son. He's going to be in all of those right positions. And at the weekend when we were there, he pretty much took every single corner, took some of them off of Sun when Sun was lined up to take them. So going to have free kicks, you're going to have corners, you're going to have him in all the right positions with a firm number nine up ahead of him. I still think Maddison's a great pick. I think Richarlison, if it's proved that he is fully fit and it is fake news, then he becomes a really good option at 0.5 less. So if you want a cheaper way in Spurs, then Richarlison.
I think if Richarlison's past fit, I think I might go for him, which he has. I mean, he hasn't really entered my thinking, and I think Maddison's a good pick as well. But a mid playing up front is just too, and he's potentially got penalties, right? Because Son hasn't got the best record at them.
Yeah,
and Richarlison's good at pens. He showed that at Everton when they were struggling. So
Maddison could take them as well, though.
He could, yeah. But he never took them for Leicester, really.
Vardy was always there, so.
Yeah. It could be any of those. I would probably guess that Richarlison would take the penalties. And if you've got a 7 million out of position player playing for an attacking team, potentially on penalties, with the creativity of Maddison as well, which they've lacked before, because my team is pretty much settled except for that I've got one spot left, and I've got 7.5 million for either a midfielder or a forward. So I'm looking at Gakpo, Diaby, Mitoma. Maddison and Richarlison. It could be, that's my only spot. The rest is done, but that spot come the deadline could be anyone. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
who it is. I mean, there's a few people in the chat. RJA964. I'm steering clear of Spurs until game week three. I think that's a pretty sensible,
reasonable.
Yeah, sensible thing to do as well. Generic says he had Kane until the news. Now he's got Maddison and Richarlison. Whoa. Kane leaves, so suddenly all the Spurs players come into the reckoning.
I had Kane and Maddison until the Kane news. Now I've currently just got Maddison while I wait for the press conference. Basically, I've decided to wait till 1 o'clock, see what Ange's got to say for himself, and then make a decision on Spurs. I'm going to have one of them. It's either going to be Richarlison or Maddison. I just got to decide which one.
Yeah, no, I think it could well be the same for me as well. We've had some super chats. Thank you for those. Do get them in if you want Sam and I to... Make sure we get round to that question, though. We will try and answer as many we can. We'll do an hour today, Sam.
Yes, we will.
We'll do an hour, and I was a bit late, so we'll go until just after 12. That'll be fine. But JP Korn says, it's not really a question, but I guess he just wants our opinion. I'm thinking no Haaland and Salah for two weeks.
It's the fear, isn't it? Like, so I was having this conversation earlier. If you have Haaland and then choose to captain someone else... and you captain Saka or Rashford in one of the nice fixtures that they have against Forest and Wolves, then fine, because at least you're getting the Haaland points. But to go completely without Haaland when 86% of the game have got him, to me, that would be, if he goes off, you've kind of, the season's over before it's even begun. And that's my concern with going without him entirely. Like, I think it's a risk to not captain him. I think it's potentially season limiting to go without him in these early weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Could you turn your microphone just down like one more little bit, please?
Yeah.
Till a few people saying we're a bit.
Okay. I mean, it's literally on like one now.
Yeah, I did a test before we came on and it sounded all right. So I'm not sure what, I mean, I'm now up to +7 decibels and you're down to -3. So, and your mic's set to one. So I think this is probably about as good as it's going to get. So I'm sorry about that. Yeah, to answer your question for me, JP Korn, I don't know why you would go without Haaland at all. I mean, you know, you could say go without Salah, but then you're going to have to be making two transfers to make Salah into Haaland. You know, he's got two promoted teams in the first three, and home game, you don't want to be without him. And against Newcastle, okay, they're a good defensive side, but they're not the same team as they are at St James's Park. So,
no.
St James's Park. It's still not even called that anymore, is it? Sports Direct Arena, or whatever it is now. So I just, yeah, I think it's just asking to be hamstrung. And I see a comment here from someone saying, Sam making a decision on EO. What do you think about that, Az? But it's not just EO. It's the fact
that you can
score a hat trick. Like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if he's 80% owned, 50% owned, 20% owned. You just want Haaland.
Mm. Yeah. And the reality is, I think, you know that at some point you're going to want Haaland in. So if you think that, in 2 weeks' time, are you going to want to take Salah out after he's played against Bournemouth? It's probably unlikely. So my issue then is, well, you've got to then find a route to Haaland at that point. So if you think that there's a chance you want both, then set up your game week one squad with both. And then in 2 game weeks' time, if you don't want Salah or you don't want Haaland, then remove them at that point.
I completely agree. Another super chat from Richard S. Adoghi, Martinelli and Eze, or Gabriel, Trossard and Richarlison? Second one's a lot more punty, I think, with Trossard and Richarlison, but both could be good. What do you think?
Both could be good, but both could also be benched. Gabriel, I think, is great. Martinelli, I really like, and he's hardly in any of the teams, but... and Spurs defence, gosh, the Spurs defence. I don't think I'd want a Spurs defender in there. I think I'd punt. I think I would punt on Gabriel, Trossard and Richarlison, to be honest. I think Richarlison's probably, as long as Ange at 1 o'clock says Richarlison's fit, I think he starts in that number nine. I think there's a good chance that Trossard starts in the absence of Gabriel Jesus, and Gabriel is going to be great. So I'd pick for the second three, I think.
I'd be surprised if Trossard didn't start, given that he, you know, scored in the last minute at the Community Shield. I think he's the best fit in that false nine position, better than Havertz. And Nketiah is clearly not trusted. And they need his feet in and around. Because Forest are just going to pack the penalty area, aren't they, with their defenders. And what's the point of playing Havertz there? Like, Havertz is quite a physical player. He led the line well, I thought, in the Community Shield, but he obviously can't finish. Whereas they need a bit of trickery and a bit of finesse, and I think Trossard fits that really well. So I think for game one, he's a really good pick. It's just beyond that, you know, when Jesus is back and if Martinelli starts well, the worries about his minutes. So I would go for Gabriel, Trossard and Richarlison out of those three, but then be aware that you probably have to find a replacement for Trossard kind of coming up. More super chats. Jack Brown, the rain's back, Sam. Yeah, it's very weird.
I mean, literally, I'm on my own. It's not rainy, it's sunny. And
did everyone else hear that? Or is it just me? Maybe I'm just losing my mind. But every now and then, until you talk, it's like there's like rain pattering down on the thing. Maybe I'm losing my mind.
To be fair, I can hear it as well. But is it just a bad connection between us?
I think it's you. I'm blaming you for it. It's your mic. Some of your mics do. I don't know what it is. Doesn't matter. I think we're fine. Jack Brown, keep the 0.5 spare or Matoma to Richarlison? That's a good question.
Keep the 0.5 spare.
You think?
Yeah. Because Matoma's got really nice fixtures as well. He's got three really nice fixtures to start the season. I don't what impact will this last minute drama have on Spurs? My personal opinion is none, because they clearly have known this is coming for a while, and I think it will be fine. But I would have, and this is coming from me, like, I think that there's enough doubt, because yes, he probably will play, but if Richarlison's got even a little knock, he could put Son through the middle instead, and then he could play Solomon in Son's position. So there are options at Spurs. It's not just like, oh, well, Kane's left, we've only got Richarlison there. So if there is a little knock, then there's a potential there. But Brighton, those first three fixtures for Brighton, I think if you can have a Brighton, I mean, there's the Casado factor, I suppose, as well. But I would keep the 0.5 spare. I think having 0.5 in the bank is really important in the early weeks.
Do you think even with João Pedro, for example, there now, do you still think the double up with the Brighton attack is good? Or would you maybe be more inclined for a punt on Richarlison if you had Pedro up top?
So I'm not going with Mitoma in my actual team because I've got Pedro up top. I've got Pedro and Estupiñán. And I think that that's fine to cover out Brighton for the first three game weeks, particularly as I think Pedro is going to be on penalties. Maybe. I mean, Richarlison, it is really going to depend on the 1 o'clock press conference. I think if at 1 o'clock Richarlison's confirmed fit and available to play in this game, then I'd maybe move there. But I do really value having 0.5 million in the bank at the start of the season, because the price changes will be mad between game week 1 and 2 and game week 2 and 3. And having that ability to move around more easily, I think, is really key. So that does play a big part in my decision making there, because in my mind, it's something we should do, is have 0.5.
So not to make this all about me, but I could have Richarlison in that position and 0.5 in the bank.
You see, and in that case, you've won at life. You've won at life.
Well, the rest of my team's awful, but at least I can keep that at 0.5. Damien Brains, I remember how to pronounce your name from last year. Hi, Damien. I think this is the first time we've seen you in these Q&As, one of our regulars. Diaby or Watkins, Eze or Mbeumo? And sorry about that.
Okay, so... thank you, Duncan. So Diaby is my new favourite. I'm obsessed by him. So... Diaby over Watkins for me. I think you save the money, 2 million, it's a lot, and you can invest that elsewhere. I think he'll be involved in all of their attacking players. Well, sorry. Doesn't mean that I don't think that Watkins will do well, because I do still think that Watkins can do well. I just think that with the budget changes, plus the fact that Diaby's a midfielder, so the additional points that you get from him for goals and that kind of thing makes him the priority there. And I prefer Eze over Mbeumo.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've just said.
Yay!
Yeah, I think I really like Diaby. I think he could be a really fun, fun. He's so fast. Like, if anyone hasn't watched him yet, you're going to see him at Newcastle, and he's going to just blow teams away with pace. Has he got that kind of end product to finish? I mean, he's had about 15 goal involvements in his last couple of seasons. He's a young player. They paid a lot of money for him, and he should be playing kind of just off Watkins as well. So there's a lot to like about him, and Watkins is a great pick as well, and it lets you move to maybe a Jackson or someone else if they sort of come available around that 8 million striker mark. So there's pluses for both, but I like Diaby. And then out of Eze or Mbeumo, I'm with you. I just think Eze has had such a good preseason. He's had one of the most goal involvements of all players that have played preseason. Everything's going to go through him now because they've lost Zaha. Elise is injured too. If teams can shut him down, then okay, that's an issue, but at the same time, he's on pens and he's the talisman of the team now. So I like him compared to Mbeumo. Brentford have looked ropey, and he hasn't looked great either. And he gets subbed off almost every game, about 60 minutes, because he wears himself into the ground. So Eze for me, Eze and Diaby, out of those two. Okay, there was a question that wasn't a super chat. We had even the super chats are flying in, so thank you, everyone. Your static's back as well. Is it your connection?
Is it?
Can you just check your connection on your mic?
Hold the line, callers, please, while I do some technical. I mean, I literally just came off Sky before I came here, and nothing has changed.
I mean, it makes me think that it is me.
Literally just did Sky, and it was all fine. Everything's plugged in correctly. I've had to turn my mic down when normally it's
full. Well, I'm just saying the hiss has gone when you fiddled around, so maybe.
No, I can still hear it.
Can you?
Yeah.
I can't hear it.
Sounds like Ray.
As long as I can't hear it, it's fine, because then the viewers can't hear it. Whereas if you can hear it, then that's just affect you. quick non-super chat question, just because it's for me, really, and I'm very vain. Question for us about Brighton. How do you rate Steele compared to the other four fives? I was very, very hot on Steele. I had Steele, Estupiñán and Pedro, and I was really happy that I've had that for like the last few weeks. And then I realised, what happens if Mitoma does start the season really strongly? What if I do want to move for March? What if we do sign this new player from Ajax and he does really well? I'm going to be in trouble having to move around. And because I don't really know what the best player is from the Brighton team, I want to leave myself the option to be able to move fairly easily to that and have that midfielder spot there for Brighton if I need it. So at the moment, I've taken Steele out. I think if you haven't got Estupiñán, I still think Steele's the best 4-5 keeper. I know a lot of people like Pickford and Flecken you don't like, but some people are talking about. But I like Steele, personally. I think he's a good pick. Who's your keeper?
Onana.
Yeah, I've gone to Onana as well. Boring, isn't it?
Mm. If I was going to have a 4.5, I'd go Leno.
Really? Leno? Interesting. He was like the kind of pre-season favourite, wasn't he? He was kind of the one everyone was starting with, and then people are moving more towards Pickford and others now. I don't really get the Pickford hype.
I think Pickford works in a rotating pair with Leno, but I wouldn't want Pickford as my only goalkeeper. I mean, I suppose you could actually rotate him with Turner now at Forest, but that's
the key word that I don't like, rotating. I hate rotating keepers. It never works, ever.
No, that's why I'm spending a bit more on having Onana.
That's what I'm doing as well. Yeah, agreed. 4 million in the bank, says Violet Citizen. Booking in Bruno to Salah for game week 2. That's interesting. I haven't seen that mentioned before.
So,
what do you think about that?
Oh, so Lee's been on about this.
Has he?
He's been on about having... Yeah, so he's been talking. He was talking in our live stream. His draft on Sunday had 4 million in the bank, and we all laughed at him because we were like, what are you doing with 4 million in the bank? And his view was, and obviously circumstances have changed a little bit since Sunday, but his view was, if I want to upgrade one of my defenders to Trent, I can. If I want to upgrade one of my midfielders to Salah, I can. If I want to upgrade one of my forwards to Kane, I can. So it gave him the flexibility of being able to get to any of the other premiums that he wanted.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
In one transfer without taking a hit. And in some ways, I think that that is an interesting strategy. But for me, particularly now with Kane not around anymore, that means that we're basically left with a decision between Salah and Trent. Now, I'm looking at it thinking, well, I think owning Salah for the game against Chelsea, who themselves haven't exactly been hugely solid defensively, and they're going to be attacking. That game, I think, has got goals written all over it for Chelsea and Liverpool. And Salah, I think, will be part of that if Liverpool score goals, as we've seen in pre-season, where he's been on really good form and been excellent. So I don't hate it because it gives you Bruno for the game against Wolves. But I also think that there's a very, very good chance that you get to the end of Monday night's game against Wolves and you don't want to sell Bruno to bring in Salah. And therefore, what is your route then? Because I think you're still going to want Salah.
Well, and I think as well, people forget that just because your team looks really good going into game week one, you're going to probably have players after game week one who you suddenly think, oh no, I'm not sure about this one anymore. Or an option, Diaby scores 2 goals against Newcastle and goes into Everton at home and you want to move for Diaby. Like you're not going to, if you're booking in a transfer game week two, you are not going to be able to move for any of these other players that emerge in that week. And a lot of people are going to save their transfers, for example, and have 2 transfers going into game week 3. You're going to be 1 transfer behind all those people. You need Bruno to smash Salah game week 1 for that to be worth it. Probably by at least 4 points, maybe even 8 points for that transfer to be worth it. And I think Chelsea away isn't that bad a fixture for Salah. I think you either back Salah from the start or you don't, personally.
I'm with you on that. I agree, because I think you could get yourself caught in a trap where you flip-flop between the two of them and then miss out on points everywhere.
Yeah, no, agreed. Next question. Christopher, again, so many super chats, guys. Thanks, everyone, so much for joining the stream and supporting us. I don't know how many we've got watching. We've got 700 people watching live. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, really good. Good to see you.
Az, do you reckon that in this new system it's not... Because the other thing is, could it be that it's not picking up my actual mic, it's picking up my headphones in this new tech we're using?
No, it's... Well, it's whatever camera you've got, whatever mic you've got set up on that that first screen I sent you. So you could check that.
Shall I check it?
You sound fine, though. You sound fine. So it's just the occasional bit of static, and I'm a bit reluctant to mess things around because it's sounding all right.
No, it is picking up my mic. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It is picking up
a few people on the chat saying your gain is too high.
What? My gain is too high.
I don't know how you...
I don't know how to fix that.
No, don't. Let's
and,
it, not...
and it's fine everywhere else. Like, yeah. Everywhere else.
No, I'll show you how you could check that after this. Let's not...
Because this is my PL setup that I'm using, that I use for the pod, so...
You sound really good. It's just every now and then we get this little bit of static, and I don't think it's caused by my connection. I'm pretty sure it's something to do with your mic.
Probably. Who knows?
But yeah, I have.
I'm not touching it.
You sound fine anyway, so let's not worry about
all
it.
All right, as long as you can hear me.
Yeah, you sound good. FPL Lighthouse, best 8 million mid, no Arsenal. As in not an Arsenal mid.
Hang on, I'm going to have to get up the list of 8 million mids now, because my go-to would have been Martinelli, but no Arsenal. Mids. Eights.
Can't believe you haven't gone straight in with Richarlison or Madison.
Well, I'm just looking at them all. So there's Jota, who I like, but I don't know that there's going to be... I think Jota starts game week one, and if, because he's the one that's most fit at Liverpool, he's got the most pace and all of that. So I think he'll be a decent option for game week one. And if he plays well, I think he stays in for game week two. But I also think that there's a risk that he does get rotated out. So that puts him out of the equation. I think Madison and Richarlison are both decent options if we hear that Richarlison is fully fit and available. You've kind of got the Man City conversation in there with Foden and Grealish. But for me, both of them are far too much of a... I'm not sure on Foden at all. I actually do quite like Bowen as a differential as well.
Well, I mean, the chat are going mad for a certain player.
Who?
We got Jota from Michael Linder. Only Jota from Tanky. I saw another Jota as well, but I can't see. Oh, Jota is a dark horse from Dan. And here's a little inside scoop for you all. Had a message from a certain Mark Southerns this morning, saying he's been up all night thinking about his FPL team. Bring one, this is the same man that 2 weeks ago told me he hadn't made a transfer all summer and was like completely calm and zen. He is all over the place right now. But he's gone for Jota. Jota is in his team currently as his 8 million mid. So, yeah.
I have got weirdly attached to the Jota pick recently, because I'm suddenly, I'm looking at him thinking he's fit. He looks like he's going to get the starts. There is a really rogue part of my brain that goes, don't have Salah, have Jota. But then I know that there's a risk in doing that, because there's like Luis Diaz and people like that in the wings who could easily come in and take that spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a mess. I mean, I've got Gakpo at the moment, and if I end up going for him, then Mark and I are probably going to be battling it out for who's starting up front for Liverpool in that. One of us will be miserable every week, which is normally how it is on Black Box, to be fair. But yeah, we've also got Luis Diaz kind of in the mix. I think the choice is obvious. If Richarlison is fit and Kane is gone, I just think Richarlison is the best mid. But I also like Madison as well. So I wouldn't go for Jota personally. I think he's a great pick if we know he's going to start, but I still just think the first choice front three is Diaz, Gakpo and Salah. So I just don't want to be picking a second choice player. But I do like Jota. But everyone is loving Jota in the chat. So maybe I'm wrong.
So Lee, we had this conversation last night when we were recording our Ohana podcast, and Lee thinks Jota's going to get the nod for game we won.
Okay.
So
yeah, so does Neil as well. He's in the he's in the lineup. Right, I've got to the talk. We're getting so many chats. I'm going to have to go back on the actual stream to look at some of the super chats because we've had too many coming in.
Don't miss any.
No, I won't. We will answer Christofari Con because I realised I started reading it and then we got distracted. Do you think Casado, the Casado move impacts Brighton's attack? No, not necessarily. I think he does a lot of work around the middle, which frees up, you know, certain players to stay a bit further up the pitch. So in that capacity, it does. But I think with the signings we've made, we should be stronger in attack. I think Pedro gives us a whole new dimension up top. I think we've got potentially this new player coming in on the right. I think Ferguson's going to have a big season no matter who's there. So I'm not too worried about the amount of goals we score. But FPL-wise, I'm worried about who's going to score them because I just don't know. I don't know who the best option is at Brighton. And at the moment, I'd only be starting with either Matome or Pedro. And I've just got Pedro currently. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I've got Pedro. Well, Pedro and Stupinian. But I think Pedro's the best option. I'm not worried about a lack of goals because Caicedo leaves. I think that you've got the players to score goals. That's how De Zerbi plays. He plays attacking football. That's not going to change just because one player goes. I mean, I think it's a big loss to Brighton. But I think in FPL, it doesn't change my decision-making. I still think João Pedro is the best pick.
Do you think he makes Liverpool's attack better? That's a good point from Del Nero. They've needed that kind of DM, haven't they, with Fabinho leaving. So again, that could unlock some of the players in some ways. Maybe it does make Brighton's worse and Liverpool's a bit better.
I think it does make Liverpool's better. I think it also makes Trent a better option.
Absolutely, too. Yeah, because he won't be playing in that. We know he won't be playing in that six. Yep, that's a very good point.
So I think suddenly having put Trent off the table with that move happening, it puts Trent back on the table again because now we know that he's not going to be playing in the middle there, which makes him more attractive to spend that 8 million on.
Very, very good point, Sam. Don't worry, we're not missing any super chats. I just can't put them on the screen because everyone is asking so many questions. They're not coming up on my little thing. So I'm on the YouTube chat, but we're doing well. We're up to, we've done FPL Lighthouse. Thank you to FPL Olin, who didn't ask a question, but just dropped us a bit of cash in.
Ah, thank you.
Damien Brains is back. Oh, this is a good question for us, Sam. Who finishes the season higher, Brighton or Spurs?
What, me or you? Oh,
yeah.
I was
going to
say me or you.
God, that's you all over. There's no way I'm competing with you this year. I can't believe people are hashtag Team Lee, by the way. Ridiculous.
Tell me about it. I know. I was like, what is happening here? Why does everyone think Lee's going to win this year?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Been 7 seasons of FPL Family. I've won 6 of them. and the other year, it was tight.
Yeah.
Anyway. Who's going to win? Brighton or Spurs? I think it will be tighter this year. It'll be closer between the two of us this year, I think, than even it was last year. I think your problem might be that you've got to play European football for the first time and how do you kind of manage those two competitions, whereas we don't have that. If you'd have asked me this question 2 days ago, I'd have said Spurs, easily. But without Kane and the goals that Kane scores, I still think it'll be Spurs, but just.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really close between. I'm going to back Brighton just because I'm biased.
Of course.
You know, I think it's difficult for a, you know, it was difficult for a new manager to come in, but I always felt that De Zerbi just built on the style that Potter had rather than having to completely rechange it. I mean, you know, you've seen the video of the Spurs players suddenly kicking it around from the back, and it's like they've not done this for a while. this has got loads of potential to go wrong, and then obviously with Kane leaving, you know, Richarlison has been good for Brazil but hasn't really done it for Spurs last year. There's big changes sort of in that side, and it does feel
it's
like
a transition.
It's a massive transition, whereas Brighton are more settled, and okay, they have Europe, but you know it's going to be sort of how they deal with that. So there's pros and cons to both. I think Brighton just edge it, but yeah, like you say, not a huge amount in it. Good question though. I think that's it for super chats. No, it's not. That's a complete lie. There's loads. Tom Meaney. Apart from Haaland and Watkins, who are the top 3 forward picks? Sound is fine, don't worry. Thank you, Tom. We'll stop going on about
brilliant. João Pedro, I put in there.
Yep.
I think he's in there. I think Jackson's in there for Chelsea.
Absolutely. That's who I'd say as well. The third one's tough, I think. The last one. I think I know who I'd say, but
who would you say?
I'd probably go for Vissa.
Mm.
Don't like that one.
I don't mind it. There just isn't many other options.
I mean, Alvarez potentially at 6'5".
Yeah, see, he's in my current draft, Alvarez.
Is he? Okay.
Because I think his record against the newly promoted teams is really, really good. Like, only Haaland and Ødegaard scored more points against newly promoted teams last season than he did. He got 45, they got 46 each. And he averaged 6.2 points per start last year. So I think he will start tonight. The worry with Alvarez is, does he always start? But then that's City, isn't it? Mm. So I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe I take a couple of week punt on Alvarez for game week 1 and 2, and then maybe look to move him on game week 3 when I'm doing a little mini wild card with my couple of transfers that I've rolled from game week 2. So he's in there. He's in the list. I don't really think that there's a standout fifth. I think that's the problem. Like, I think it, Haaland, Watkins, Jackson, João Pedro, I think they're the picks.
Interesting that you haven't mentioned the player that's currently in my team. I forgot about the player that's in my team, which makes me think I probably shouldn't be starting with him.
Who you got?
I've got Gakpo in my side at the moment. He's literally in my draft, and I haven't even mentioned him in the top six forwards.
Why?
I think he starts.
Because you've not got Salah.
No, I haven't got Salah, and I really like Gakpo. I've always liked him, and I think he fits what Klopp's trying to do really well. I think him and Jota are just the perfect players in that kind of forward role to press. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is going to be rotation between them. Jota has the ability to play on the left as well, but then he's competing with Darwin and Diaz over there. And I'm getting put off Gakpo because of the love in for Jota, because I think Jota massively impacts on Gakpo. Also, we saw maybe Gakpo playing in midfield in pre-season games, maybe to cover a bit for the lack of DM. But now they've got Casado. I'm not expecting that to happen again. So, I don't know. Salah, Gakpo, Jota, front three. Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's Salah, Gakpo, Jota or Salah, Gakpo, Diaz, personally. But, I don't know.
So, I just think that there is a little... There's a chance... Sorry. I think there's a good chance that Darwin plays against Bournemouth because they don't need such a high press against Bournemouth. So they will want that kind of...
Yeah, but he'll play on the left. He'll play on the left, right? He's not going to play in Gakpo's position.
Well, yeah, but what happens if Jota has had a really good game?
What happens if Gakpo's had a really good game?
Well...
I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? Yeah,
that's
it is. The point. No, you're right. That is the point.
So
that's
my point, is that I'm so unsure, with the exception of Salah, I'm so unsure about those other four, who's getting the nod, when they're getting the nod, how many minutes they're getting. Because the other thing is that just because one of them doesn't start doesn't mean that they're not coming on. And with the new rules, if you're coming off on 60 minutes, you've potentially still got 40 minutes to play in the game. So you could still get really good returns out of them. So I don't think it's a reason not to do it. I just think that the risk of rotation at Liverpool is so much greater this year than it ever has been. Like in the past, Salah, Mane, Firmino, locked in. You just pick them and then you're fine. Whereas this time around, you're just not like that anymore.
No. What WTF, Gakpo and Alvarez, do these guys know how to play FPL? Not really. Get your super chats in, everyone. We're just looking for someone a bit fun, aren't we? Someone a bit different. I mean, I've got 10 pretty boring picks and I've got that 11th spot to play with. And like I said, it could be Richarlison, it could be Gakpo, it could be Maddison, could be Matoma. All the logic.
You've got a bit of fun.
Yeah, all the logic points are one of those other ones. But, you know, I like Gakpo and it's a way into the Liverpool attack, potentially. So, yeah, I don't know. That spot could be anyone. I think that is all the Super Chats done. If I have missed any, do let me know. Let me just go. Oh, no, there is one more. FPL Ullen. Who's the best 4.5 for game week 1? He hasn't specified a position, so let's go through them all. 4-5 goalkeeper, you say Leno, right?
Leno.
Well, I'm going to say Steele at 4-5.
Okay.
Defender, 4-5?
Four specifically for game week 1?
That's what the question was, so let's go with that. Yeah, for game week, let's go with that.
I don't know. I might take a punt on Emerson Royale for game week 1.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I'm seeing people with Botman. Like, some people are starting Botman.
Yeah, but only... So it would have been Botman. That's why I asked about, is it game week 1 or is it...
Yeah, no, I know.
Because if it's longer, then it's Botman.
I can't really see one. Well, the one I do like is, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, but if it's purely for game week one, there's that Sheffield United, I think he's a centre-back, but he like marauds forward. Can you get his name up if you can do that? It's like, it begins with A. God, do we know FPL? Yeah.
Oh, Ahmed Hodzio.
Yeah, him. Yeah. There's a good article, yeah, basically, on Scout from Neil and co, where they talk about his potential. And he gets very, very high up the pitch, very forward, very good in the air as well. And it's a decent home game against Palace. And there's a lack of other 4.5 options. So maybe him or maybe an Everton defender, as Thomas Norton has said. But there's not many.
Alistair Gold is saying that Richarlison's fit, by the way.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, God, I'm going to go into the season with Richarlison. Oh, dear. Will the FPL show be back next season? Yes, it will.
It was back this morning. Gianni was down, recording with Kelly this morning. So it'll be out on the app anytime.
Yeah, and I'll be on it next week.
And I'll be on it the week after.
Looking forward to it. That's all the super chats done. If I have missed any, do let me know. Do get any more.
Hang on, we've got to do the midfielders, haven't we? 4.5 midfielder.
Oh yeah, God, I'm glad you're here. Thank you. 4.5 midfielder. I've got a 4.5 midfielder in my team right at the moment.
I have two.
You have two 4.5 mids.
No, I have one two.
Oh, like, I see. I was going to say you've got two. I've got.
Who's yours?
I've got Chukwuneza.
Okay. I've got Baptiste at the minute.
Baptiste. Interesting.
Mm. But I also think that Elliot Newcastle is a good option.
Yeah, that's Anderson, Elliot Anderson, right?
And yeah.
I keep getting confused with that because they had a goalkeeper called Elliot, didn't they?
Called Elliot, they did. Yeah, should call him by his surname, really, but I don't know.
Yeah,
decided that we're on first name terms, me and him, for some reason.
It's good old Elliot. It's like Mark and Brennan refuses to call him a Johnson. Yes, nice. Thoughts on Jack? Oh, no, sorry. 4.5 forward. I keep forgetting. 4.5 is so boring. There isn't a good 4. It's Mbamba, isn't it? It's about it.
It's, I think that is it. Like, I look at them and I'm like, there's literally no one else. So it's him. It's just him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't one. You aren't going to get a starting 4.5 striker. You're going to have to go up to 4.55 if you want one, which it would be like a Morris or a Pedro or someone like that. Pedro's obviously the best at 5.5, I think. But
I agree.
Pedro could easily be a bandwagon that fails. Because if he gets subbed at 55 minutes and Ferguson comes on and Ferguson scores 2 goals, or say he gets subbed for Enciso and Enciso scores the winner against Luton, there's definitely concerns around it. So
I think it's got potential to be brilliant. And everyone has Pedro.
Yeah, that's nice. I like the optimism.
that's where I am. I think we could be a couple of game weeks in and people are like, Pedro's a no-brainer.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think if Pedro does score game week one, he's going to be the biggest bandwagon imaginable. Because I think a lot of people are going to be moving to Salah for game week two and they're going to be shifting funds around. And who else are you going to get other than a starting 5-5 striker who's just scored in the first game? So, yeah, he could be brilliant. But, yeah, I'm a little bit worried. RJ964, are you still on Timber? The player, no. Not currently. At the moment, I've got... Saliba, just because I don't want Gabriel because he's boring. That's literally the only reason.
I've been on Saliba the whole time.
Have you? Yeah, I've come around. Delia's in the chat. She'll be happy to hear me say that. I think I did a poll like on one of the first pre-seasons about Arsenal players and I didn't even mention him, and she was fuming with me. So there you go. Now he's in my side. He's good. I think he's better on bonus, and I don't think there's a lot of attacking threat really from the defenders with the corners that Arsenal put in. I know Gabriel had good XG last year. He's good in the air, but they don't put in a lot of short corners. So, and I saw Saka's corners at the Community Shield and they were absolutely awful. It doesn't exactly give me much hope that he's going to be on the end of all of those. So
no, yeah. But I like, he's been my second choice Arsenal player the whole time. Saka and then Saliba.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he's great.
I do like, if you're planning an early wild card though, I do still rate Timber, and I am allowed to suggest a player without, you know, forcing them into my side like I did with Havertz. I know people are saying that I've backtracked on that, and I have to a degree, but I still think they're good options. It's just, do I think Timber's booking in a transfer potentially in 3 to 4 weeks rather than playing it safe and going with Saliba? And it's the same with Havertz. I can afford Odegaard, so why wouldn't I go with the player who got 200 points last year compared to the punt? If Havertz starts well, it's an easy move down to him. It's not an easy move up. You've got to be kind of flexible. Nigel the Crab asking me about pronunciation. Yeah, where were you, Nigel? You're supposed to be... Nigel was on the Black Box Trib yesterday giving us pronunciation lessons for a lot of players. Chukwuemeka, right?
At least he wasn't here for you trying to say that Sheffield United defender.
Yeah. I knew that. I really put you on the spot there with that, because I didn't even try to say it. I was like, could you just look him up?
Look him up, Sam, and then try and pronounce it. This is me who can't. So quite often on the official pod, I have to get Jules to pronounce it for me and then re-say it again because I can't remember.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea though. I like that. I might start doing that as well.
He's like my own personal translator for these names, because I'm just like, I don't know how to pronounce that.
What I like at the Premier League show is they have like videos of all the players saying their names. So you can talk to the producer and say, can you just tell me how to say Chukwuemeka's name, and it'll show you the video of him saying it. So next week, I'll go in and I will listen to every player from all 20 teams doing their names, and then I'll be a bit better. Mark will be thrilled at though, Azpilicueta. Oh my, I can't believe how he couldn't say his name after. He was in the league for like, what, 8 years?
Forever.
Still couldn't say his name. Carter Holland, Gvardiol. Another difficult name to pronounce, which I'm not sure I've got right, but there we go. Gvardiol, what are your thoughts on him? If he starts tonight, 5 million?
He's apparently getting the nod tonight, isn't he? That's what a lot of the suggestions are, that he's going to get the nod tonight. Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is that with Diaz, they're available at some point. How do we see that kind of going? I don't think City will keep many clean sheets. I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet tonight against Burnley. Because they historically haven't. And they've got a mistake in them at the back. And I think that there are better other options in that price point.
Yeah, it's a clever price of 5 million. I'm not entirely sure why he is priced at five, because an injury to Ake, for example, and I think he becomes almost must own in that side. Pep has a history.
Ahead of Stones.
Well, at 0.5 less. If he's nailed and playing every game, probably. I mean, I just think about Pep's defenders he's brought in. He brought in Diaz. He played almost every minute that first game, that first season. Laporte, as in the first few seasons, played almost every game. Akanji came in. No one expected him to start. He played almost every game. And I think he tweaks, you know, he looks at the system and he buys a player for that system that he's specifically looking to play that year. And he obviously thinks Gvardiol is the one to do it because he's spent 70-odd million on him. And you know, Ake has been so good for him last season, so he's obviously worried about Ake's injuries and things, because it's not about his ability, because he's been absolutely brilliant. But there's going to be rotation, I think, between those two, because they both play on the left. But I'm avoiding for now, but any injury to Ake, and he's probably going to come straight in, I think.
Yeah.
Back to Alvarez. We've got a question from Enshep. Is Alvarez a good City option until De Bruyne is back? I mean, De Bruyne is back, right? He's not injured.
He's back. Yeah. No, he is back. He came on in the chip. I think Alvarez is a decent option if you take it for what it is, which is a player that you're never going to be guaranteed the start. I think he probably will start against Burnley tonight. Would I want to guarantee that he also starts in game week two? No, because Pep's rotation is as such that he could easily decide to not play Alvarez and start with Foden instead. Another midfielder instead, change up the positioning of these players. So I think he's a decent option if he's like your second forward, and that means that you've also got a really strong five in midfield because you've probably got Haaland, Alvarez, João Pedro, and then a good five. If you've got that and you can cover out potential rotation, then I think it's a decent option for the short term. I think longer term, you're not going to probably want to have him, because I don't think that he'll get enough starts over the course of the season to warrant that. But maybe Pep will change his mind on him and play them both up top together all the time. We'll have to see.
Yeah, or maybe he nails down a right wing spot because they're lacking in that area. Yeah, I mean, my dad was in the Black Box chat the other day, and he came in with quite a useful thing. I mean, he doesn't know how to play FPL, just putting that out there, but he dabbles in the stock market. I mean, his stocks have absolutely tanked lately, and it's all I hear about, but ignore that. He does all right. He's done all right previously. A bit like me in previous seasons, living off that. But he said his strategy in FPL would be the same as stocks, 70% safe, 30% risk. And I liked that, because I think when you're setting up your team, you want to have a few players in your team who may be a little bit different to the grain, who you can get excited about and give you something a bit different. And I don't want to talk anyone out of Alvarez, because I don't want him. He's not really in my thinking. I think there's better options at 6-5 in midfield. I think you could, you know, I'm looking at Gakpo, for example. I think there's a lot in it between Gakpo and Alvarez. Both could be benched. But if you've got spots in your team and you want to have a couple of little punts, I think Alvarez is a completely fine punt. Playing for City.
He's
two promoted teams in three. Nothing wrong with that.
He's one I'm thinking about punting on.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah. You've got to have a couple. You've got to have a couple of players. Two maximum three players who excite you going into game week one. That's how I want to play the game anyway. And yeah, Havertz was going to be one of those. That's why I was looking at Timber as well. I'm going to do it with that 7.5. I still think Pedro's in that spot as well, because I think his ownership's like 10% or something like that, and a lot of people won't go there. So that's why I like him. But yeah. I mean, that's why I'm tempted for like Reece James over Chilwell, for example. Because if he does end up getting penalties, I think he's going to be a really interesting pick.
I can't have Reece James. He trolls me so badly that I'm going to go Chilwell.
I've got Chilwell currently, but I'm a little bit tempted by James.
Trolling of James over the last few seasons has been so bad to me that I'm just going to stick with Chilwell, I think.
Come on, everyone. Let me know in the comments who your three players in your team are that you're a little bit excited about, you know? So I don't want to hear about Saka's and Haaland's and, you know, Gabriel's. Who are your three players? Because we've already got one from Greg Frost. Alvarez, Pedro, Garnacho, right? I'm not massively fond of Garnacho. I think that's going to be a headache for you at some point, unless you're playing him in kind of some rotation. But good on you. Someone a bit different. Little punt.
Yeah. Mine are Alvarez, Pedro and Madison at the moment, but might be Richarlison by the end of the day.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Mine. Oh God, I keep saying Richarlison to myself and I'm like, really?
You're going to do it, aren't you? This is going to happen.
I think I am. I think I'm probably going to go with Richarlison or Madison the more I think about it. So, yeah, we'll see. Flun Times, Madison, Diaby, Pedro. Lovely.
I love Diaby. I always forget that he's a bit of a differential fun pick as well, because for me, he's just part of the, like, just so part of my team now that I've kind of forgot that people don't have him.
Yeah. Matt Whelan, Grealish. Not seeing him mentioned at all. Could be good.
No.
If you're looking for another, pretty nailed on, unless Foden eats into his minutes on the left, but I don't see how he would.
No.
Grealish.
I like the Grealish pick.
Yeah.
I had him last year. He was good for me last year.
Yep. A few people saying Salah. Yeah. I think Salah does feed into that, genuinely. I think if you're building a team with Salah and you're having to make a few kind of, you know, you've got to downgrade a few other players, then you're going to end up with... I mean, I made a Salah draft and I really liked it, but it definitely wasn't 70% safe. You know, Havertz was in there and I had no bench and a 4.5 defender I didn't really want to play. It was a bit too risky. So that's why I didn't go for it. FPL Cats, I really want Antony, but not sure I'm brave enough.
That's interesting. Mm. Why would you not be brave enough? It's not a lot of budget going there. Have a punt.
He's not great.
It's one punt. Well, yeah, but if you've got a gut feeling, I'm one of those people managers that if you've got a gut feeling on one player and the rest of your team's looking great, then have the punt on him. Because if it doesn't go well in game week one, game week two, then just move him on. It's not like you're going to be locked out of other places by doing him, because you can move. There's other places you can move.
Mike Tilling, Mason Mount is my exciting choice. Stop laughing. Little story about Mason Mount last year before Fest, which Sam and I will be at today. And do come along if you've got the time, because it's going to be a really good day. But I took Kulusevski out of my game week one team 10 minutes before the deadline to bring in Mason Mount. Remember what happened?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember because Kulusevski was absolutely excellent, but I don't remember you doing that.
Yeah, golden assist he got in that game. And Mount got nothing. And then he didn't get anything for weeks. Yeah. That, I think that's my biggest tip.
Don't make a transfer later.
My biggest, that is my biggest tip. Just please don't make last minute transfers. You know, you've done all this research. You've come on these streams. You've done all, looked at all the stats. You know what's happening. Don't just suddenly decide 10 minutes before the season, like I do every bloody year, that someone else that you haven't even considered is suddenly the greatest player ever. Please just don't do that.
I'll take your phone off you later when we get to Fest.
Please.
I'll take your phone off you.
You'll take my phone off me, and then we get City news and like Stones won't be starting and I'll be desperately trying to find you and you'll be
running around the room going, Sam, where are you?
Absolutely. We're heading into 12. Any really pressing questions? It's been a great stream. We had loads of great questions about everything. I'm sorry that the sound has kind of dogged. Frostbolt, didn't you do Dean
weird
as well?
Yeah, I did. Oh, Dean was a bad shout.
Oh, you did, yeah. I remember you having him.
I had too much choice because it was all the 5 million defenders. Like there was Gabriel, there was Trippier, there was Dean, all these people. And I picked the worst one there and I picked the worst 8 million mid as well. I got off to such a bad start last season, so I'm really hoping that doesn't happen again. But yeah, watch Dean get 12 points game week one. Oh, he will as well. He's going to start.
He will probably. Yeah, he will start.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, just not really a question, but one interesting one just before we finish from ESEMB. And I think this is a good question in general about City tonight, because we're pretty sure we're going to get some kind of lineup tonight. If you're not following, you know, different accounts on Twitter, like get Rockstar in the thing, get some other kind of people around, because we're going to get a lineup and we're going to be at Fest and it's going to be carnage. ESEMB says Ortega starting tonight. What would that mean? And also generally, what would you do with a City lineup? I mean, obviously if you've got a City player starting, like if you've got Alvarez in his bench, you're probably not going to start with him, right?
No. Yep.
But what if...
Same with Foden.
What if Foden starts? Would you be more tempted to pick him?
No. He's one of those where I have not had him in a single draft. So just because I see a team news doesn't mean I should then go for him, because there's a reason I haven't had him in all of these drafts the whole way along. I think the exception to that rule is the punt. So like the Alvarez punt, not starting. I don't think even if he was starting, I'd bring him in. But if he was not starting, it would make me change. And the goalie would make me change.
Okay. Yeah. Ortega starting would be... Is he 4-5?
Yeah, I think so. I'll double check it.
If Ortega starts, we are going to see a massive influx of owners. Because
there was a lot of chat about that, wasn't there? No, he's 4.
He's 4 million?
Yeah.
Oof. Oof. Goodbye, Turner.
Hello, Ortega.
Hello, Ortega.
Yeah, because I was reading some chats about Ortega maybe getting the nod this year over Edison.
Yeah. Well, he played well in the games that I saw and got the nod. I mean, Edison tends to be the lead keeper, isn't he? And Ortega tends to play in the cups. That's what Pep's kind of typically done. But if Ortega is impressing enough in the cups, then you've got to think he's eventually going to enter into Pep's thinking for the league. Mm. So, yeah, we'll see. Ortega Turner. We might see a few of those as well. Go for the 4 million double ups. Oh, God.
The game is just like got 8 million goalkeepers spend going off left, right and centre.
And then Edison comes back in the team and Forrest sign Henderson and it's over.
And everyone's wildcarding to change it. It's Leicester all over again, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've had just in and around 1,000 people watching this stream. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I am going to get ready for Fest, Simon. Fest is the annual, well, sort of, every 6 months, but the annual start to the season. It's in Waterloo in London, big venue with sort of 200 to 300 FPL managers. There's a quiz.
Most tickets ever sold.
Yeah. So if anyone isn't in and around London, has a bit of time, do get yourself a ticket and come down, because yeah, Sam and I are really looking forward to seeing everyone. There's loads, you know, Harry will be there and Oscar will be there and loads of familiar names too. And it's just an all round really good day. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Need to
And there's a meet beforehand if you're in early as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you can meet some people before you go in if you're worried about that. But honestly, if you are, you know, if you do just have the day off for whatever reason and you're thinking, oh, no, I won't go to that, it would be weird, I don't know anyone. Honestly, within 10 to 15 minutes, you'll have met people and you've got the same interests. You can easily strike up a conversation about football and always grab one of me and Sam if you're worried or anxious, and we'll introduce you to too many people.
Oh, yeah.
If anything.
Yeah, we'll just drag you around with us for the rest of the night. Yeah, to speak to us.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, by that point, you'll be desperate to speak to someone else. So
anyone else other than these two.
Perfect. Right, everyone, thank you so much for all of your support this pre-season. Do make sure you're subscribed to the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel. Do make sure you like this video as well. Drop us some comments. Let us know your teams and how you're setting up. Hopefully, we'll see a lot of you at Fest. But otherwise, Sam and I will see you next week for the Q&A. Game week 2.
Ooh, see you next week, guys.
See ya.
Good luck.